Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
We're back. Well, hey everyone, how are we doing? Are we good this evening? Yeah? No? How are you doing? Well, hey, and welcome to Gas Street tonight. Welcome if you're joining us online. My name's Cookie. I'm part of the team here, and I'm so glad that you would choose to join us as we continue our series called Marked. And we're looking at the book of Mark and seeing all the ways that it's transforming us and shaping us. It's been so exciting, and I'm excited to continue on this evening. Now, I've been thinking a lot about choices recently. There are a few decisions that I have to make coming up. And I saw this stat the other day. Did you know that the average adult makes around 35,000 decisions in one day? It's insane, right? And what that tells me is that choices take up so much of our lives. They're so important. They're a huge part of our lives. When I was reflecting on some of the key choices, significant choices that I've made over the years, there's one that stands out to me. There's one that has impacted me and shaped me. It's shaped how I navigate my life even to this day. And that's the decision that I made to cheat on my hairdresser. All right, now, I don't know how you move, but in my community, you don't cheat on the person that usually does your hair, all right? It's a grave, grave, deep, deep act of unfaithfulness. You just don't choose someone else. But I chose to do that, I must confess, but I can explain though, right? So I'm in year 9, I want to get my hair braided. And the woman that usually did my hair, she's not available, so I then have the choice to either wait for her to be available so she can come do my hair or choose someone else that I didn't really know. Now look, I was desperate. I couldn't even face going into school a fresh term without fresh braids. So I said, Mom, call the woman, let's try the new one. And so the woman comes and I'm trying to explain what I'm going for. And she's like, yeah, no, just sit down. I've done it all before. So I trust her. And after a couple of hours, she boldly declares that she's finished. And so I run to the mirror, and when I look at my reflection, honestly, the color just leaves my face. I'm in shock. Because what I'd asked for was something like this. All right, I wanted, and for those of you not familiar, pay attention to the simplicity. I wanted straight back cornrows, braids to the side. What I ended up with was something like this. Okay, she did way too much on the side of my hair, right? In fact, that's not me, for those of you wondering. She actually made a whole flower pattern on the side of my head. This was just as close as I could get this evening. And I remember just my heart stopping. I remember tears just forming in my eyes and just kind of wondering, what am I gonna do, getting so emotional about my hair? And in that moment, the overwhelming feeling was, why did I go with her? Why did I choose her? I didn't know who she was. I didn't know whether she could promise, whether she was able to do what she promised. I didn't know what it would cost me to place my hair in her hands. It was 6 whole weeks of walking around with a flower on the side of my head. Why did I choose her? Now, that's just a silly story, but I think to me, it reminds me that who we choose matters. Who we choose to live with, who we choose to share our lives with, who we choose to follow can shape the whole course of our lives. And we see this in Mark 1. And picking up from verse 14, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in me. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he'd gone on a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. Now in this passage, we see Jesus approach Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and he invites them to follow him. And in that moment, they have a choice to either choose life as they'd always known it, or to choose Jesus. And they decided to choose him. But that choice to follow Jesus, it wasn't just for them back then. It's open for all of us today. And some of you sat here today, maybe you've never made that decision, and we'll create space for you to do that, to choose Jesus for the first time later on. But I'm sure there are lots of people sat in the room that have already chosen Jesus. And in this moment, you might be tempted to switch off a little bit. But can I encourage you to press in? There is something for us all here tonight. Because choosing to follow Jesus is not just this one-time significant event, which it is, but it is also a daily commitment to choose to center our lives around him. And it can be so easy to kind of skim over what it means to follow Jesus. It can be so easy for us to get stuck in the routine of it all that we forget the point of it all. But we can use this passage in Mark to draw out points that can help us remember what choosing Jesus means to us in our everyday. And that's what we're going to unpack together. So the first thing we need to hold on to daily is understanding the person. Understanding who it is that we're choosing to follow. And let's just be clear, just for anyone who might not be sure, we're talking about Jesus. But who was this guy to the disciples? In Mark 1:14, we see that Jesus was teaching and preaching, but why did that make him worthy of following? At that time, there were so many other people that were also preaching and teaching. There were so many people to follow. There were already rabbis, spiritual leaders who would guide the community. And these rabbis, they had disciples who would follow and learn how to truly follow the word of God in the same way that their rabbi did. So what made Jesus different? Jesus was not just a man who knew how to follow the word of God, but he was and is the word of God. Jesus is the one that was there at the beginning of creation, before anything was formed. Jesus is the one that many hoped for all throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is the one who humbled himself, came down from his throne to experience all that we do. Jesus is the one who died on the cross, sacrificing his life for us, who rose again, defeating the power of death, so that anyone who chooses to believe in him can spend eternity with him. Jesus is the one with all power and authority in heaven and on earth. This is Jesus. This is the person we're talking about. This is the Jesus who chose Simon, Andrew, James, and John. This is the same Jesus that chooses us. And this is the same Jesus who is asking us to choose him. And so why wouldn't we? And I feel that we need to shake off familiarity and wake up to the wonder of who he is. He cannot be an addition to our lives. He has to be the center of it. And he so wants to be. That's why he comes to meet with us. And we see it in the passage. Jesus meets the disciples where they're at. We see him basically turn up to their workplace, the place that they go day in, day out. The place that they have good days and bad days and everything in between, they didn't have to find him. He found them. He knew all about them, where they would be, what they'd be doing. And he does the same for us. He sees and meets us. He sees us not only here when we're presenting as okay because we're at church, but he sees us back home when we're fighting with our parents. He sees us in the uni halls when we're trying to hold it together. He sees us in our workplaces when there's unfair treatment. And he meets us right there. He sees us, he meets us, and he knows us. The question tonight is, do you truly know him? And I believe each and every one of us needs to take a second to really take in who Jesus is. And so what are some of the ways that we can get to know him better? I mean, for starts, for some of you in the room or online, it's saying yes to following Jesus, choosing him for the first time, and beginning a journey of really discovering who it is that you've chosen to follow. For others, it may be joining Alpha. Maybe you need to know more about Jesus. You've heard rumblings about him, but you have questions that you want to explore. We've got a course, go and sign up. For others in the room, it might be really taking in scripture, unpacking the word of God and seeing for yourself that Jesus isn't just a guy that turns up in the gospels, but is the very thread of the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Choosing to follow Jesus is a continuous journey of choosing to make space to discover more and more of who he is. But what happens when we choose him? The second thing we need to hold on to is the promise. Jesus says in Mark 1 verse 17, follow me and I will make you become. When we choose him, he promises to transform us. It's Jesus that makes us, that shapes us, that forms us for a greater purpose. And transformation is a promise that he makes to everyone who chooses to follow him. Now, Jesus called the disciples in Mark 1, despite their background, despite their profession, what they'd done or what they were able to do. It didn't matter to him. When Jesus invites us to follow him, he's not bothered about the state or how we come to him. He's just bothered that we do. He can do the rest. Now, I had a sense that for some in the room, maybe you've been holding off from choosing to step into all that Jesus has called you to because you don't feel good enough to do so. I mean, you better than anyone know your thoughts, your habits, the bitterness that you've been carrying, the unforgiveness in your heart. You know your motives. You know the times that you've not honored the people around you, the things that you've said, the things that you did last week, and maybe even the things that you're planning to do. But can I just tell you something? Jesus knows all that too. And he still says, follow me. He's not afraid of that stuff. He doesn't wait for you to get right. He just waits for you to get close, to choose to follow him closely, to learn his ways. When you choose to follow him, he will make you become all it is that you need to be. So we see that he promises to transform us, but the question is, do we want to change? You see, Jesus, he accepts everyone, but he doesn't accept everything. It's the very reason that he died on the cross, so that we could have total freedom from all that he doesn't approve of. Look, he loved us enough to do that. Do we love him enough to refuse to remain the same? Now, choosing Jesus is surrendering every part of who we are, even the parts we're a bit ashamed of, and allowing him to transform us. But why? What's the point of it all? The third thing we have to hold on to is our purpose. In Mark 1:17, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. But what does that mean? See, the disciples, they were fishermen. And so when Jesus says, I will make you become fishers of men, what he's saying is, I will make your purpose people. Now, we may not be fishermen, but the same applies to us too. Jesus wants to make our purpose people, to join him in his mission of bringing people closer to him. Jesus says to us, bring the ordinary that you do, the things that you think are basic, and I can show you how to use it to bring people into relationship with me. And when he does this, suddenly you realize there is so much more to the ordinary. That bus route you take, it isn't just about getting from A to B anymore, but an opportunity to show a familiar face the kindness of Jesus. That job promotion isn't just a chance to earn more money, but an opportunity to show kind and humble leadership. Where people begin to question, people don't normally act like this. What's different about you? Your creative idea is not just for fun, but so that people can see a reflection of the Creator Father and wonder, where did that come from? I want to know more. Your uni isn't somewhere that you just picked, but where Jesus called you to walk closely with the people around you for 3 or 4 years to show them him. When we choose him and are truly transformed by him, it becomes so easy to make our priority telling people about him. Look, we talk so much here about being light for the city, and it's not because it sounds cute, but because Jesus commands us to. In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Look, we're called to point people to truth in a world that's searching for it. People are hurting, people are broken, people are turning to temporary things to fulfill them. People are looking for something that we have the answer to. Now, the other day, I was thinking about how the most frustrating thing in the whole world is looking for a TV remote. I don't know what it is, but that thing just seems to have legs. It goes everywhere. You'd be looking under the table, in between chairs. You just can't find it until sometime later, which feels like forever, the person that you're with gets up. And suddenly you realize they were sat on it the whole time. And it's like, bro, why didn't you move? Why didn't you get up sooner? Did you not see me looking everywhere for it? And so often we can be like that person sat on the remote. There are people around us searching for something. They may not know where it is. They may not know what it is. But we have a choice. We can either watch them search as they spend time and energy, as they grow in frustration and some lose patience and some give up altogether, or we can say, here it is. This is what you're looking for. It's Jesus. Let me tell you all about him. In Romans 10 verse 14, it says, but how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? Who is sent to do it? Anyone who chooses to follow Jesus. Look, it's not just the loud, it's not just those that are extroverted, not just people with theological degrees or those that have businesses. It's not just people in a relationship or those who are single. It's not just those employed by church or people preaching on the stage. It's not just those who are older or those that are younger. It's you. But the question is, do you want to? Or if you're honest, could you go a day or two, a month or two, maybe even a year or two without telling people about Jesus and how he's transformed your life? Maybe today you need to ask yourself, why? Are you a bit consumed with your own life? Are you a bit too comfortable? If the primary purpose of your life is not letting people know about who Jesus is and what he's done, have you truly chosen to follow him in everything? Now, how we might do that might look different for all of us, but maybe for you it's going and hearing more about the experiences of the people in your life. Maybe it's going and building relationships with people you might not usually talk to. Maybe it's doing research on other faiths and really understanding why it is they believe what they do. Maybe it's creating more space in your week so that you begin to live a life that is more interruptible. There are people that need to know about Jesus, not just abroad, but in our cities, in our streets, maybe even closer than that, in our homes. When we choose Him, we choose a life of pointing people to Him. Now, the fourth thing we have to think about, though, and can't skip over, is the price. There's a sacrifice that we have to make when it comes to following Jesus. In Mark 1 verse 18, it says the disciples left their nets and followed Him. When you choose to follow Jesus, there are some things that might have to be left behind. For the disciples in the passage, it was nets, boats, their staff, their families. But what might that look like for us? Maybe for you, it's letting go of some friendships that aren't so good for you. Maybe it's some places, a home, or a city that you thought you'd be in for the whole entirety of your life. Maybe letting go looks like letting go of disappointment. You chose to follow Jesus and you feel so let down in an area of your life. Maybe it looks like letting go of that hurt and allowing Him in and trusting that He's sovereign and walking with Him again. Look, there's a cost to following Jesus, an emptying of ourselves, a surrender that's required. Sounds kind of intense, right? Maybe you're thinking, well, that sounds horrible. Why would I choose that if it's going to cost me everything? Well, it's because what you get in return is far greater than anything He could ever ask of you. Now, growing up, when my mom was out the house, she would usually drop a text or call to let me know that I needed to sort something out, either take something out, clean something up. And usually I'd just forget to do it automatically, up until the point that her headlights shone into my bedroom and that wave of fear came over me. Now, usually it was pretty easy to make it look like I'd done what she'd asked me to do, but there was one task that I couldn't really rush through. And that was making sure that I'd taken out whatever it is she'd asked me to from the freezer. Mate, I could tell when she'd come in that she was already let down. And on reflection, I think it's because what she asked of me was nothing compared to what she'd done and was going to do for me. I mean, she was about to chef it up and make an incredible meal for me. All she asked was me to take something out of a freezer. But why was it so difficult for me to do that one thing? I think it's because I'd forgotten to value all that I'd been given, all that she'd prepared before, and the meal that was coming up ahead. And sometimes we feel that the things that Jesus is asking of us are way too much. And sometimes they really aren't small things at all. But the question is, do we value what it is we've been given? When we remember what Jesus has done for us already, all that He's doing and is going to do, then the things we have to surrender look way smaller in comparison. Look, it's easier to surrender when we have the proper perspective that Jesus sacrificed His life so that we could have freedom and relationship with Him now and always. That doesn't mean, though, that it doesn't feel heavy sometimes. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us lay things down. In Luke 14, Jesus says, "Those of you who do not give everything you have cannot be my disciples." That's every position, every opportunity, every relationship, every qualification, everything that we hold close in our hand and in our hearts. But they do not even compete when compared with the promise of life with Jesus here and always. This is the good news. When we really understand what it is we've been given, choosing Him over all these things becomes so much easier. So we've looked at the person, We've looked at what he promises, the purpose and the price, but there's one more thing that we have to consider, and that's the pace. In Mark 1, verse 18, the Bible says that immediately the disciples left their nets and followed him. Now, in the book of Mark, he uses the word immediately over 40 times, and it gives you a real sense of the urgency that he's trying to communicate. And we see this in Mark 1. It emphasizes that the decision to choose Jesus isn't a choice that we can afford to take our time on. There's no time to waste. When we choose Jesus, we decide to live lives that are aware that the kingdom of God is near. We know that Jesus came, he died and resurrected, but we can't forget that he's coming back. And no one knows the hour, the day, but the Father. And being serious about choosing Jesus daily and pointing people to him, it actually can't wait. I'd love if the band could jump up and join me. Look, we see this in Luke 9 when Jesus calls another disciple to follow him. And I love this interaction. In verse 61, the man says, "I'm ready to follow you, Jesus. But first, excuse me while I get things straightened out at home." And Jesus says, "No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day." And Jesus is saying, allowing him to lead all areas of our lives is a choice that has to be made now. And it feels harsh, probably because we often try to stall things a little bit when it comes to following the things he's called us to. Sometimes stalling looks like, let me just save up first, and then I'll follow what it is you want me to do, Jesus. Let me just wait until I don't have any kids anymore, and then I'll have more time. Let me just wait until I'm fully healed, then I'll have more energy for this. Let me just wait until I finish this university course, and then I'll give you my all, Jesus. Now look, I'm speaking to myself. Honestly, there are so many areas in my life that I find it difficult to just trust and commit fully to all the Lord has for me. And there's so many times I make excuses and find reasons to delay stepping into his call. But there's a world waiting to see the Jesus in us. And we cannot afford to put the things he's calling us to off until tomorrow. Jesus says, don't choose him when it's convenient. Choose him today. And the question is though, do you trust him? Do you trust that he is who he says he is? Do you trust that he can transform the parts of your life where you don't feel good enough? Do you trust that he wants to partner with you in his plans and purposes to see a world in love with Jesus? And do you trust that life following him is actually worth the sacrifice? I don't know where you land here tonight, but we're just gonna create space for response. So if you're able to in this room, why don't you stand? And we're just gonna pause for a moment because I know that we've flown by so much in the last few moments together. And so we're just gonna allow the Holy Spirit to do a work, and maybe it's just allowing him to reveal what resonates with you most this evening. Maybe you want to close your eyes and just reflect on your life. Maybe you want to hold out a hand and just allow this and welcome the Spirit into this moment for you. In a moment, Nick and Meg are gonna join me and we're gonna have a moment to respond. But before that, I'm just gonna pray. So come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus, I just pray, oh, that you would become so real in this moment to every single person in this room, any single person that's tuned in and is watching right now. Lord, I pray that the wonder of who you are would be such a reality in their life. God, I pray that you would just open them up to receive your promise of transformation. Lord, that you would reveal the purpose that you have for them. God, by your Spirit, that you would just bring an ease when it comes to them letting the things go in their lives that they need to. And Lord, I just pray that they would become people with eternity mindsets. Lord, with eyes not fixed on the temporary, but the things of ahead. And so, Spirit of God, come and do what only you can do in this moment now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram at gastreetchurch.